Red roots, white cheese or yellow, mushrooms with gravy, barley pudding, meat pasties, pies. Enough, said Pox, laughing. Let's see, how about roast mutton and gravy, barley, mushrooms, and do you have soup? The girl nodded. We always have soup. If you're cold, I can bring mulled cider, too. Good. I'd like that. The girl left the room, and Pox pushed the bench closer to the wall, so that she could lean against it. She stretched out her legs to the fire. The fire murmured to itself, occasionally snapping a retort to some hissed comment. She could hear the rain fingering the shutters, and the red curtains on the windows moved uneasily, but by the fire she was warm and felt no draft. She wondered what Kolya would say to her message. What had Kolya heard? Her eyes sagged shut, and she slipped a bit on the wall. She jerked awake and yawned. This was no time to go to sleep. She ought to be thinking what to say to Kolya and to the Duke. The door opened, letting in a gust of cold, wet air, and a tall figure in a long, wet cloak. Pox thought at first it might be Kolya, but as the woman came into the light, Pox saw that she was younger and certainly had both arms. A man came in behind her. The woman threw back the hood of her cloak to reveal red gold hair, stylishly dressed. Under her cloak, she wore a simply cut gown of dark green velvet, and when she drew off her gloves, she wore rings on both hands. Her companion, who seemed vaguely familiar to Pox, wore black tunic and trousers, and tall riding boots. Pox wondered who they were. They belonged in some city like Varela, not up here. Before she thought about it, she had turned the Duke's ring round on her finger, so that only the band was visible. The serving girl had appeared as the door closed, and led the pair at once down a passage toward the interior of the inn. They must be known then, thought Pox. She felt uneasy as they crossed the common room to the passage, but they did not seem to look at her.
Here you are, said the innkeeper, breaking into her thoughts.
The platter of food steamed and smelled good.
And Councillor Ministera sent you a message. She's in a meeting right now, but would be pleased to have you stay with her. She'll come here when she's through with the meeting.
Pox thought that Kolya's invitation impressed him.
This room is often crowded from supper time on, and noisy. If you'd prefer a quieter place to wait, I have several rooms.
Pox thought about it, and decided she would rather not see Stammel just yet. Yes, thank you, I think I will. But I'll finish supper first. No need to move this. She gestured at the platter and bowls. He smiled and left her. The mutton was tender and tasty. The soup warmed her to the toes. By the time she had finished, several townsmen had come in and ordered meals, staring at her curiously. She signaled the serving girl and asked directions to the jacks and the private rooms. Right along here, said the girl, and Master said you were to have this room. She pointed to a door, when you were ready. Pox opened the door to find a pleasant little room with a fire already burning on the small hearth. Three chairs and a small round table furnished it, with a bench along one wall. The girl lighted the candles that stood in sconces on either side of the mantel. Will you be wanting something from the kitchen? No, not now. Probably when Kolya comes. Pox tried to compute the probable cost of the meal, bath, and private room, but she wouldn't be paying for a room tonight, and she had enough. When she came back from the jacks, she settled into one of the chairs by the fire and took her bow across her knees. She inspected it, as she'd been taught, and rubbed it lightly with oil until it gleamed. She took the bowstring from her pouch and slipped it on, then bent the bow to string it. It was as supple and responsive as ever in her hands. She unstrung it and set it against the wall. Her hand found